always on Tuesday after 4:05, we check in at City Hall. And our guest this afternoon is always the mayor. It's John Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Nice to be with you, Mike and Keith.
It's always great to have you with us as well. We have an agenda that's a mile long today, so we will jump in with both feet. We will not jump in the Taco Bell weather puddle, though. It's a little chilly. We're not doing a polar bear club until the, what is that, New Year's Day is when that is traditionally happening. You won't catch Keith or I anywhere near that. In town today, Bloomington making news because obviously Vice President Pence is here touring the Catalent plant, and that's some great PR for our town in the fight against COVID-19.
Yeah, we're so proud of what Catalent is doing. You know, they came here 2 or 3 years ago. They've added 1,000 employees since they've been here. They're right in the middle of this amazing science and research-based effort to get the vaccine out, and it's really exciting. They're working 24/7 over there, and having the vice president here to thank them and highlight what's happening is a really good thing for Bloomington.
And I saw Michael Reschke, who works for the Herald Times, which I know you're familiar with his work. He is over there monitoring all the situation. This is one of his tweets from an hour ago. Pence also said FDA approved today a home-based over-the-counter coronavirus test. So that's if we can get more tests, yeah, let's have it. Let's keep going. Let's try to figure this stuff out, because Mayor Hamilton, you've seen it in your parks and rec department. You've seen it at the utilities department, your fire department. COVID's not going anywhere.
You know, it's the good news, which we want to celebrate and should and are so happy to hear about. It does about what's coming with the vaccination. We'll start getting people shot in the arm with vaccinations within a few days, I expect, locally. But the bad news is we're going to have a really hard few months till we get to where we need to get, because we're, you know, for the first time ever, we're now averaging two deaths a day in the county from COVID. While we're doing better than the state in cases and deaths, we still are seeing a growth. I've seen it in my workforce. We're now, as you mentioned, 45 employees have been diagnosed sick. They've all recovered so far, thank goodness. But that pace has really doubled up over the last month or so, and there aren't any signals that it's going to get better until we get through the vaccination period, frankly. And so that's really important to keep. I think we've said, you don't share air with anybody that's not in your household if you can do it, if possible. Just don't share air. You know, stay distant. Don't get in social situations indoors with folks. If you must be masked and distanced, and otherwise, we're just going to keep seeing this spread and take some of our neighbors.
We're speaking with the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton. And Mayor Hamilton, you have done everything you could possibly do as the leader of the city on trying to do prevention measures and all the other things. You mentioned the vaccination, and I see surveys that somewhere in the 61 percentile of people who kind of indicate they would get the shot, at least a lot of people that are talking about not getting it. What will your message be on that next level? Because you're already talking about get the vaccination.
Well, I hope I understand that number's gone up a fair amount in the last weeks or months, and that's good. It's really important. You know, I think we'll see people getting vaccinations. We'll know people getting vaccinations, and we'll realize this is helping them. We'll have workplaces and places where we gather where they'll want to know, have you been vaccinated? And if not, you know, you'll have to maybe behave differently or have different protocols than if you have been vaccinated. We know kids in schools and college students and others may be required, unless there's medical reasons, not to. So I hope people will understand, you know, the way we beat this thing is to get at least, what do they say, 70% of us
That's
vaccinated.
Right. We got to get the herd numbers.
And you know, I think it'll be good when well-known people like radio personalities get vaccinations, you know, and stuff. That'll be good. You can set the pattern.
Well, and I've also said that I'll go last because the frontline workers need them. Those who are in the categories above, you know, plain old me, I'll let everybody else that needs to get in there, Mayor Hamilton, because we can't have our medical system overtaken. by COVID cases. And as we move forward, are you happy with how many we're getting? Who can we can't call Ghostbusters to get. I don't know how we get more, but we just have to. We get what we get, and we be patient. That's the only thing we can do besides not share air, physically distance, wear your mask, and wash your hands.
Basically, though, it is interesting. You know, this is really driven by, as it should be, the public health experts and powers that be that want to make sure, as you know, that the vaccine is distributed fairly and appropriately, that it's delivered to the people who need it most, the caregivers and those most at risk. But there is this part of it, which is, as I understand, the more vaccines you give, that is, if from IU Health or various places, the more vaccinations you deliver, kind of the higher up you move to get the next shipment. So if you're slow putting out vaccinations, you're going to be slower getting the next shipment.
Makes sense. They don't want it sitting on the shelf.
Exactly. So it does mean if we have a community where people are lining up and they're making sure everybody's getting it quickly as we can, that we do actually accelerate relatively compared to a place where maybe people are holding back and not wanting to get vaccinated. So it's just another reason to make sure we get in line, do it in the right order, of course, as you mentioned, but also just keep those vaccinations going.
Mr. Mayor, you've been involved in a fair number of court situations over the years, not only city court-wise, but also some getting up beyond that. And I forgot how long it's been since the annexation thing moved toward the courts. You reminded me before we went on the air, it's been about three and a half years, but the Supreme Court has finally issued its ruling on the annexation thing. Talk about that and what it means.
Supreme Court.
Right.
Yes. Well, it was a big day. It has been 3.5 years since, if you remember back, we were in the middle of an annexation process, and the state legislature in the middle of the night added a provision to the budget bill and said, basically, Bloomington, you're going to stop your annexation process. We're calling a halt to it, and you can't annex any of that for another 5 years. And we thought that was unconstitutional. You can't pass laws under the Indiana Constitution that focus and target on one community or one person or one company. It's called special legislation. And so we sued pretty quickly because we thought that was really inappropriate. And 3.5 years later, finally, the Indiana Supreme Court agreed today. It's a very important decision and important to us, but also important as a matter of principle to say that was unconstitutional, what the state legislature did. And that's pretty unusual. It doesn't happen very often that that's determined by a court. But they said what this legislature did was zero in on Bloomington and take action in a way that didn't affect anybody else in the state. It was targeted. There was no reason to target Bloomington. You could have passed a general law if you wanted. And so they've ordered that was an unconstitutional step where, you know, it costs a lot of money and it's been a long time and water's over the dam and we have to figure out what the next steps are. But I am pleased that the court vindicated what the trial court had already agreed on and we have argued for 3+ years.
So where do you go from here with this? Do you start the annexation process all over again?
Well, that's what our lawyers are looking at. We have to figure out what the next steps are. You know, I'll just remind people, when I took office, Bloomington had not annexed anything for 12 years. We've grown. We grow a lot. We grow 1,000 people a year, and we grow our communities growing, and we hadn't changed our boundaries for 12 years. Now it's been 17 years. I'm almost 5 years into my service. So we've gone a long time without adjusting our boundaries. And that's hard for a city because, you know, municipal governments are meant to serve urbanized municipal areas. And if you don't adjust your boundaries, you get out of whack and you get heavily urbanized areas that don't have the kind of trash pickup and the police service and street service and sanitation service and all the other things that kind of go and make sense with an urbanized area. So we will look at that. I've already reached out to county officials and say, hey, we ought to talk about this. And my city council president, we've talked and we'll, you know, we're not going to wreck anybody's holidays, but we're going to start talking about what the next steps are. And there's a lot to figure out for that.
Do you feel that being through the process once with everybody, you have a different way of approaching it or a different way of, I don't want to say attacking, that's not the right word I'm looking for, but of going through the process?
Well, it's a very, very explicitly defined process in state law. I mean, it's so prescribed. I think what people forget to do this, for example, you have to start with a map, a proposed map, and you have city council and hearings, and then the only thing they can do is shrink the map. They can't expand it. So you kind of always start with, hey, here's potential boundaries. Let's talk about what makes sense and what doesn't. Let's listen to various folks. So I think it's a process that's very public and very prescribed. So whether we pick up where we left off or we start over again, I think, it's possible after looking at everything, we'd say, no, it doesn't make sense to do. Let's just create a West Bloomington, city of West Bloomington or something. I don't think those are good ideas, but we'll be debating and talking about that in the coming week.
Mr. Mayor, last week we had Mick Renneisen on, and we were talking about the tent city thing and park board decision the night before, 3-1 vote not to move in and do anything. And then some things happened in the next couple of days. And frankly, and to be quite blunt, you've taken it on the chin as mayor about the fact that the police and the social workers went in and kind of cleaned out the area. Where do you want to have people understand what happened there?
What's getting lost in translation here, Mayor Hamilton?
Well, thank you for asking. And let me say first, look, I worry every day that we're going to lose somebody in a winter from exposure. We have people who are living outdoors, not to mention parks. There are numbers of places. Everybody ought to have a safe and decent and affordable house. Place to live in America. We don't. We have work to do. We've had dramatic cuts over the decades of support for subsidizing housing, and we need more of that. But I've worked really hard in my life and as mayor to improve affordable housing options for people, and we'll continue to do that. We've had hundreds created locally. We work very closely with our partners, and that's critically important. We want people to be safe. We want everybody to be safe in the community. No matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, no matter how much money you have, we want you to be safe. Now, the parks issue was a particular issue for a long time. We don't allow sleeping in parks. We don't allow camping overnight in parks. You can't live in a park. And that's been true for a number of years, and we've enforced that consistently. What we'd seen in some parks was people virtually kind of living there during the day and moving in with tents and lots of equipment and various things and almost filling up parks in different ways. And look, everybody belongs in a park. Everybody's welcome in a park, but that means everybody, and it means it needs to be open to everybody. And so we did look at different ways we could deal with daytime uses of parks, trying to make sure that, you can't camp in the middle of a playground all day and not let kids play in the playground, or you can't sit down in the middle of a basketball court and say, I'm going to take my nap here and not let people use parks. We want to make sure parks are available to everybody. And that decision to change rules about tents in parks, the Parks Board did not vote on. But we still have and will consistently say, look, if you need a place to sleep, we will find you a place to sleep. We have 50 empty shelter beds in the community right now. And if you need one of those beds, let us know. But you can't move in and sleep in a park. So people weren't really sleeping in that park overnight, maybe occasionally, but generally in any of our 30-plus parks, we don't allow sleeping. But we want to make sure you have a place to sleep. And, for example, last Wednesday we said, does anybody here need a place to sleep, when we said you can't keep your tents overnight and leave them up? And four people, one person said, I want a bed, and three people wanted to go to a kind of an overnight place you don't sleep, but you can stay, and we took them there. The rest said, no, I'm fine. I've got another place to go. Our job is to keep people safe. We work really closely with the county folks and nonprofits and mental health agencies and addiction, substance use disorder folks, and it breaks your heart when you see people out in the elements, and we want to make sure everybody's got a safe place.
The other part of this that's interesting, Mayor Hamilton, is I think people are confused on why it took to this point in the proceedings to quote-unquote shut it down. Is there anything you can give us insight on this of why the timing is what it is, and this has been going on since the summer, and now why? Because it's cold outside. It seems and it looks like Grinch. It looks heartless, whatever you want to call it.
Well, look, you know, first of all, these are complicated problems to solve, and they're individual stories. They're individual stories for each person who may be spending a lot of time outdoors in a park or sleeping outdoors. There are encampments, not in our parks, but there are some places tucked away. People are probably familiar some where people are literally living camping. You know, for the few weeks, last few weeks, we'd seen more presence in the parks. I'll give you one. We've had about 6 or 7-fold increase in needles that we found in the park seminary this year compared to last year. Now we have a sharps container there that has hundreds of needles that are put in there, but there were more than 1,500 needles discarded, not in the sharps container. And those are dangerous. And we've seen, you know, there's been a lot of growth of problems of behaviors, tearing up equipment and various things. And we've been working with folks. We actually opened up a table called Public Health in the Parks, where we had professionals in there to try to help people access services if they needed substance use disorder, mental health counseling, other things like that. And we've been working for many weeks on that with downtown resource officers and others. We've been consistently saying you can't sleep over here, you can't sleep in the park. Once the decision was made that we weren't going to change the daytime use of tents and all the gatherings of materials and all that, we did decide, well, we will allow that in the daytime, but we need to make clear that you can't camp out here and leave all your stuff. So each night it needs to be cleared out, and we'll help you get to a safe place, because people in the public right of way next to streets, people living outdoors in the cold temperatures that's coming, that is not a safe place. It's not a good place to be, and we want to help people do better. So that approaching winter definitely was a factor in this.
Mayor John Hamilton's our guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05. And the other part of this, Mayor Hamilton, that I don't think people either want to listen to or they don't want to hear, is there are people that don't want any help, that want to have kind of just a free-for-all, as you mentioned, with the needles, and I'm not saying I know any other things that are going on there, but you've seen some of the behavior just driving by on some afternoons, that they can't go to these shelters because of a lifestyle choice or behavioral choice that they're choosing to make. Why is it your job to fix all of this?
Well, look, I'll say this. My family, like virtually every family in America, has been touched by substance use disorder and challenges of that kind or mental illness. And those challenges can be tougher in a year like we've had with 2020. People who don't have income, people who are facing all kinds of challenges. And I'll say this. You know, every time it's much easier to address those challenges when you have a house than when you don't have a place to live and to sleep. So we work really hard with our partners, you know, in places like Crawford Homes and Crawford 2. And we just opened a Southern Knolls next to the cemetery on the west side. And there's other apartments that are built to help people live successfully. There are lots of people in our community who are struggling with mental illness or substance use disorder. And We just opened up a Stride Center, which is designed to help people in crisis. At 2 a.m., it used to be there were only two places you could go in our city. You could go to the hospital emergency room or you could go to jail. We now have a third place, the Stride Center, right near City Hall in a county building, where you can go for 24 hours and try to get into treatment and all. So look, everybody's struggling. This is a hard year. My heart goes out to everybody trying to figure out a way forward. There are people who don't want to go to a shelter, who'd rather either stay with friends or some want to stay on the streets at a given time. And that's not a healthy and good place, but we do all we can to help steer people into success. And let me just make one last point about homelessness, because most of what you're seeing in the park there is not homeless, but it's other behaviors. But there are people homeless. And in our community, the last numbers I saw, we had something like approaching 2,000 people a year who go through homelessness. That's a lot of people. But the vast majority, the big majority, are temporarily homeless. They had a family breakup, or they had an illness or a loss of a job or something that hit them, or a mental crisis. And the key thing is helping those folks quickly get back into housing, because your life is much better when you have a home. So there are some people, however, who are chronically homeless, and that's a harder group of people sometimes to figure out how to get a good path forward. And we make a lot of progress, but that's, you know, that's still a challenge, and we need more housing, and we're working on that. And I hope we'll continue to chip away at it.
Well, as Deputy Mayor Renheisen told us on Thursday, a bus was sent over there to take people where they needed to go or anywhere, and three people of 20 or so took it up on the offer. So I want to make sure that information gets out there, that you were trying to help. You had people from your service. What is the service called?
Center Stone.
Or the downtown
and
social
Wheeler
worker.
Mission, and a downtown social worker was there. And again, we have, you know, we've all collected. This community cares. It's a very compassionate community. We have empty beds that are available to be used. And it's similar. Now, look, you know, if all folks remember three or four years ago on Kirkwood, we had kind of a similar group that was hanging out and putting up tents and stuff on the sidewalks. And it was a real challenge, and some of the similar behaviors. And when we finally decided, you know, you can't block the sidewalks, you can't live here, we offered again, similarly, hey, if you need a ride to a shelter, if you need help moving your stuff, we can get a truck here. And that group kind of also said, look, we don't need your help. They had a pickup, they got on their cell phone, they got help and moved on and didn't need places at shelters. But I don't want to diminish. This is a really hard year. There are a lot of people suffering, and this community wants to help, and we're right in the front line every day trying to help with our partners, and we'll continue to do that.
Mr. Mayor, one of the things that some of the other side talks about that may be contributing to this, and I'll give you an opportunity to respond to it, is because the atmosphere in Monroe County, especially Bloomington, is so open to bringing people in with problems, that there were people gravitating to Bloomington that don't gravitate to other cities because they don't offer those kinds of services.
Well, that is a constant question. Now, you know, look, any community, any big community, people come here for all kinds of reasons. They come here for culture. They come here for athletics. They come here for the nightlife. They come here for all kinds of reasons. And they come here for social services, too. And that's part of the mix of being a center of a region. I do think we have been very sensitive to communities that are kind of intentionally sending people. We've had, whether it's from a, you know, a state prison system or from a community, a county or two over, that says, we don't know what to do with you, why don't we give you a one-way ticket to Bloomington? That's not a good approach. And people need to solve problems, are going to be much more successful typically if they're at home, unless there's a reason they need to leave their household or something. But so we it's a balance. The last numbers I saw, that most of the people who are dealing with in Bloomington, their last address was in Bloomington, but not all. And there's a substantial number who do see that issue here. And it is a reason to think regionally about this, from Owen County and Greene County, Lawrence County, Brown County, you know, to say, well, how do we work on this together? Because it is true, if you're from Brown County and you're suffering from substance use disorder, or poverty, et cetera, you're more likely to be successful when you stay with connections of home and family and friends than if you go to a new place and kind of don't know anybody. So it is a regional challenge that we got to solve regionally.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. And as we wrap up, you have somebody else wrapping up with you at the city. Doris Sims has been one of the names associated with Bloomington and positive things happening in city government for a long time. Obviously, it's Jim Sims's wife as well, and she's heading towards retirement.
She did. Doris announced that she's going to be retiring from the city at the end of next month, end of January. It was a hard message to receive as the mayor, but Doris has given decades of work to this community, both in housing and neighborhood support, and she was the head of human resources in the city, so took care of the hundreds of city employees. She's been a member of my cabinet from day one. I'm going to really miss her and her humor and her leadership and skills. She's really a terrific public servant, and we're going to miss her terribly, but I know she's proud. She should be proud of the great work that she's done to make Bloomington a better place for people from all walks of life. Doris just has a wonderful legacy that she's signing off to at the end of next month. We'll miss her, but it's well earned too.